ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये। We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 22, Prithu Maharaj's Meeting with the Kumaras. Text number 19. Sangama kalu sadhunam upayesham cha sammatah yat sambhashana samprashna Sarvesham Vitanotisham Sangama Kalu Sadhunam Upayesham Cha Sammatah Yat Sambhashana Samprashna Sarvesham Vitanotisham Sangamaha, association. Kalu, certainly. Sadhunam, of devotees. Upayesham, for both. Cha, also. Sammataha, conclusive. Yat, which. Sambhashana, discussion. Samprashna, question and answer. Sarvesham, of all. Vitanoti, expands. Sham, real happiness. Sham, real happiness. Sham, real happiness. Translation. When there is a congregation of devotees, their discussions, questions and answers become conclusive to both the speaker and the audience. Thus, such a meeting is beneficial for everyone's real happiness. Please repeat. When there is a congregation of devotees, their discussions, questions and answers become conclusive to both the speaker and the audience. Thus, such a meeting is beneficial for everyone's real happiness. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hearing discussions among the devotees is the only means to receive the powerful message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For instance, Bhagavad Gita has been well known all over the world for a very long time, especially in the Western world. But because the subject matter was not discussed by devotees, there was no effect. Not a single person in the West became Krishna conscious before the Krishna consciousness movement was founded. But when the same Bhagavad Gita was presented as it is through the disciplic succession, the effect of spiritual realization was immediately manifested. Sanat Kumara, one of the Kumaras, informed Prithu Maharaj that his meeting with the Kumaras benefited not only Maharaj Prithu, but the Kumaras as well. When Narada Muni questioned Lord Brahma about the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Brahma thanked Narada Muni for giving him a chance to speak about the Supreme Lord. Therefore, questions put by a saintly person to another saintly person about the Supreme Personality of Godhead or about the ultimate goal of life surcharge everything spiritually. Whoever takes advantage of such discussions is benefited both in this life and in the next. The word upayesham can be described in many ways. Generally, there are two classes of men, the materialist and the transcendentalist. By hearing discussions between devotees, both the materialist and transcendentalist are benefited. The materialist is benefited by association with devotees because his life then becomes regulated so that his chance of becoming a devotee or making the present life successful for understanding the real position of the living entity is increased. When one takes advantage of this opportunity, he is assured of a human form of life in the next birth, or he may be liberated completely and go back home, back to Godhead. The conclusion is that if one participates in a discussion of devotees, he is both materially and spiritually benefited. The speaker and the audience are both benefited, and the karmis and jnanis are benefited. The discussion of spiritual matters amongst devotees is beneficial for everyone without exception. Consequently, the Kumaras admitted that not only was the king benefited by such a meeting, but the Kumaras were as well. Sangama kalu sadhunam upayesham cha sammata yat sambhashana samprashna sarvesham vitanotisham. When there is a congregation of devotees, their discussions, questions, and answers become conclusive to both the speaker and the audience. Thus, such a meeting is beneficial for everyone's real happiness. In a hearing and chanting session amongst devotees, Prabhupada describes as being like scientists. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 1. He says that just as scientists come together, sit together and discuss the conclusions of their research in various details, comparing theories and going over the details of their realizations. He said, similarly, devotees take pleasure in sitting together and discussing the pastimes of Krishna and the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And I've always found that it's hard to ask a good question. That's why when you ask for questions, oftentimes they're not always forthcoming. The audience can sit for a moment and think, do I have a question? And the result of a good hearing and chanting session is that you come out with more questions than answers, because questions are the answer. We find that when a good question is asked, or the best questions are asked of the right person, then answers that actually satisfy the heart and direct one forward in the path of devotional service, conclusively, as mentioned here, come out. Siddhanta bolya chitanakara alash iha hoite krishna lage shudrud manash. Kaviraj Goswami says, don't be lazy about discussing siddhanta. Siddhanta means what something is and also what it isn't. One has to know both sides so that one has a razor sharp understanding. Like when sharpening an axe, you have to hit it from both sides until it becomes very sharp. So similarly, Kaviraj Goswami is saying, Siddhanta bolya chitanakara alash. Don't hesitate to discuss from both sides. As Prabhupada said, read the books that he's given and discuss thoroughly threadbare. Practically a matter of assimilation. One who takes up the great task of reading Srila Prabhupada's books I've always felt that if we examine the kind of dedication and energy that Srila Prabhupada put into writing his books, we may conclude that we may not be able to write such books or put the same amount of energy in. In fact, having written one book, I can say that it nearly killed me. And I had to take 9 months off from doing everything else. And Prabhupada wrote 100 books. He didn't take time off from anything. However, what I thought was, in the spirit of Dai Tava Pache Pache, running behind the guru, trying to catch something, that at least let me try to put the same kind of energy, try, into reading Prabhupada's books as he did into writing them. Same spirit. And one might find that as one endeavors in that way, and the more that one does, the more one will find that the literatures that he's given us already are unfathomable. It's like the ocean. You may think, oh, there's nothing there. It's just a reflection I'm looking at. But once you go into the ocean, you find that you can't find the bottom. It's so deep. You can't even go there, practically. Humans can't go to the bottom of the ocean unassisted. And oceanographers, I heard recently in a documentary, said that they've only cataloged about 10% of the life that's within the ocean. How they know that, I have no idea. But that just gives an idea of the way they're awed by the depth of the ocean. So one who is practicing Krishna consciousness, as has been passed down by our acharyas, which means attentively hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, constantly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, entering deeply within it, will also find that it's as deep as an ocean. And furthermore, that as one tries to assimilate the knowledge, that one will have better and more pointed questions. This is true hunger in Krishna consciousness, that as one tries to assimilate the knowledge and one finds oneself bereft of the ability to do so, one gets more and more questions to dig deeper. And there's no end to that process. It's not that there's a point at which I say, I've studied Bhagavatam, I know Bhagavatam. Don't associate with such a person. The sages, again and again, are remarking that there's no end to this. Vayam tu na vritrama uttama shloka vikrame yashinvatam rasa jnanam swaru swaru. That this is such a wonderful process that the more we taste it, the more we try to hear the Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, the sweeter it becomes, and we want to hear it again and again and again. And this absorption, actually, is the way in which one becomes solidly situated in Krishna consciousness. Pravishta karna randrena swanam bhavam sururuham tunoti saliram Krishna sali lasya yata sharat. Shukadeva Goswami, he says that the Bhagavatam, hearing, purifies the intention within the heart of the conditioned soul. I intended to enjoy the material world. But after hearing Bhagavatam in the association of pure devotees, I changed my mind. Living entities do that all the time. But changing one's heart, that's another matter. Pravishta karna ranrena means that the Bhagavatam enters within the ear holes. Prabhupada comments in another place, although the ears may appear to have small openings, once the sound goes in, it's as big as the sky. Don't think that If I try to assimilate the Bhagavatam, if I listen several hours, 5 hours, 12 hours, 24 hours, my head will get full and I won't be able to put any more in. Actually, it goes in and it can accumulate unlimitedly in the sky of one's heart by hearing Pravishta Karna Randrena Swanam Bhavam Sarodaham. Swanam Bhavam Sarodaham. There's a lotus within the heart. Actually, when Lord Nrsimhadev killed Hiranyakashipu, he tore out his heart. But he did it with the buds of his lotus hand. So he didn't want to injure the heart, actually. So he has compassion for every living entity. And as he was holding the heart of Hiranyakashipu in his lotus palms, he wondered, how did so many contaminations get into this heart? Krishna is always wondering for the conditioned soul, how did you let this in here in the first place? And the medicine for clearing the heart, which is compared to muddy rivers, is autumnal rains. The rains in autumn come lightly. And when they come, they clear all the waterways everywhere in the world where they land. Unlike in the rainy season when mud enters the streams. In a similar way, the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of pure devotees cleanses the contaminated intention, the decision that one made at some point that I will stay here in the material world no matter what. And one decides then that I think that I'll surrender to Krishna instead. And that's a happy day. In fact, Prabhupada mentions in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the section of the cleansing of the Gundicha Mandir, after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's extensive commentary that Srila Prabhupada paraphrases, about a catalog of various kinds of contaminations. You can look and see and match up if you have any of those. By the process of chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, dhunoti salivam Krishna. Dhunoti. Krishna, within the heart, helps to remove those contaminated desires and the obstacles within the heart. And Srila Prabhupada says, then when the heart is clean, it becomes a pristine throne on which one can then suitably situate the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On that day, one should hold a festival, invite all one's friends, give a sumptuous feast, and celebrate the moment at which one has cleansed one's heart completely and installed the Lord there once and for all. Dhunoti salilam Krishna, salilasa yata sharat. Only the power that comes from beyond the closed system of the material world, coming from Srimad Bhagavatam, tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abhadya bhatyapi. It's not from this creation, says Narada Muni in the fifth chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's from a different creation. Imagine that. A sound vibration that actually comes from the spiritual world. We're so tired, aren't we, of hearing the sound vibrations that come from this world. No matter how erudite the speech may seem, ultimately, it's the same recycled, very boring, punat punas charvita charvananam. It's been chewed, it's been spit out, and now it's being chewed again. For the devotee who's tasted even one time the Srimad Bhagavatam, the world itself and all the discussions going on in all the universities, Ivy League or not, are gray. And I had this experience one day, just for a second, when I was sitting on an Air India flight. It was a morning flight, and everyone had their newspaper out. This was the Indian Times and whatever else. And I looked around, my mind hopeful, to find a headline that I could enjoy. I looked from one newspaper to the next. But I couldn't relate to any of it because I don't know anything about Indian politics. So I couldn't find any juice. What scandal? I didn't even care. Sporting, I don't know cricket at all. To me, it looks like grown men running around in crazy uniforms throwing balls at each other. And this is the context of someone who's tasted Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole world goes gray. In that aspect, he or she is no longer interested in the topics of the material world. We find in the Srimad Bhagavatam the great discussion between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. Naishati dushaha shunmam. Tyakto dam atibhadyate, pibantam tvam mukham bhoja, chutam harit katamritam. Parikshit Maharaj, with such determination, after, as Jayadvaita Maharaj said the other day in his class, he ditched the material world. One of my takeaways from this weekend. One utterance from the mouth of a Vaishnava can change your life, right? He ditched it. What'd you do with all your stuff? I ditched it. Parikshit Maharaj ditched everything. And he thanked Krishna. He said, I wouldn't have done this if you hadn't intervened in my life. It's the mood of the devotee who keeps him or herself on the edge all the time, ready. Krishna, push me off if you like. This is as far as I can go, but if you want to push me off the rest of the way, I'm pretty close to the edge. And Parikshit Maharaj was a pure devotee of the Lord, and when he heard that message that he would die in 7 days, it came rushing into his mental system, into his heart, that Krishna had come calling for him. And he went and sat down with such firm determination to ask the right question. What do I do now at the time of death? And of course, as soon as you ask the right question, then heaven and earth move to support you. This is the first aphorism of the Vedanta Sutra. Atato brahma jignasa. Now that you have awareness of something bigger available to you, and ask the biggest question you can. Make it good, little jiva. And what happened then? Shukadeva Goswami appeared and began to speak to Srimad Bhagavatam. Parikshit Maharaj was so enamored of the sound vibration coming from the lotus mouth of Shukadeva Goswami, the self-effulgent acharya who had heard and realized the Srimad Bhagavatam perfectly. Chutam Harikatamritam. He said, I'm enjoying so much the nectar falling from your lotus mouth that even though I'm fasting, I'm not even drinking water. They didn't stop. I'm not thirsty. I'm completely filled up. That is the hallmark of advancement in devotional service. As Prabhupada writes, enthrallment, rapturous hearing. Hearing with rapt attention means rapturous hearing, the rapture. So, the Srimad Bhagavatam is the incarnation of Krishna. It's appeared in this age of Kali Yuga. as the incarnation, Krishna Swadhamo Pagate Dharmaganadi Pisaha, Kalunashta Dirshamesha Purar Norko Dhanodita. Just after Lord Krishna left the world, the light of Srimad Bhagavatam appeared to benedict everyone in the world. And Srila Prabhupada, when coming on the Jaladuta to America, wrote that this will be the means by which the people of the world will come to the perfect stage of life. And of course, he quoted the progression of verses in the first canto, second chapter of the Bhagavatam, beginning with Srinvatam Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Pridyantakstohya Bhadrani, Vidu Noti Suritsitam, which means that if you want to help yourself, if you want to fulfill all your desires, if you want real wealth, then listen to Srimad Bhagavatam. Even if it's not attractive to you at first, understand with your intellect that this is Krishna appearing in the form of sound vibration. And Prabhupada once said, God helps those who help themselves. And helping oneself means putting oneself in front of transcendental sound vibration. Prabhupada went on to quote, Nashta prayushu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. That step by step one will make advancement in devotional service just by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and practically all the anarthas will be cleared from the heart, and then one will become actually established in devotional service. Tada rajas tamo bhava kamala vadayashtaye cheta itera anavitam stitam sattve prasiddhi. When the lower nature is conquered by the power of the Srimad Bhagavatam, then one will be able to stand on one's own two feet, freed from the influence of those lower modes. And then evam prasanna manasa bhagavad bhakti yogata bhagavad tatvijnanam mukta sangasa jayate. One's mind will become happy, and one will become established in real devotional service to the Lord. So, the great need of the day in the world is to have groups of devotees discussing the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada, as we find in his last purports, in the 10th canto, 13th chapter, just before he left the world, mentions that the way in which we can rectify any disagreements, come to conclusive understanding together as a society, is by sitting together and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and discussing it. By that, everything will become clarified. And also we find that people who receive the Srimad Bhagavatam in their home, and, well, actually even just receiving it, it's a major event, because according to sociologists, people keep things in their house according to their idea of who they are. In fact, they put out things to show other people that this is who I am. But when they take the Srimad Bhagavatam into their house, puts a spanner in the works, because it's so become such a prominent feature that they have to reckon with that. Just that it's physical presence. Some people say, why don't you just read this digitally, which is fine. But also, if someone keeps the Srimad Bhagavatam in their home, the presence of the Bhagavatam starts to push everything else out. When we were going door to door in California, there was a group of devotees, we were going to apartments, and Sri Krishna Purushottam was in front of one door. He had about four or five devotees with him. And I was down the hallway, knocking on other doors. And he called me over. He said, come here, quick. So I came, and they were standing outside the door. The residents had gone in to discuss whether or not to let the devotees in. And so they wanted me to stand there, a big white American wearing a dhoti. So I stood there, did my duty. And they came back. apparently they were still on the fence, but then they said, all right, come in, which was a huge mistake. And the devotees are ready all the time to pour in as much nectar as will be allowed. Ishvare tardineshu balisheshu dusachusa. Prema maitri kopeksha yakaroti samadhima. The preacher is looking for the opening. If somebody's a little bit innocent, then the nectar will be poured in. So we sat down, we opened up the Bhagavatam, we took it out. It's self-effulgent. When people see the Bhagavatam in their house, they've never seen anything like it before. The pictures, the sheer volume of it. I mean, people ask Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, how can you write a newspaper every day about it? I mean, he said I could do it every minute. The news in the material world, it's finite, but in the spiritual world, it's infinite. And when people actually see the Bhagavatam itself physically in their house, they're sort of shocked that here's a spiritual literature that's so vast. Even Indians, they show it at the door and they'll say, oh, it's the Bhagavad Gita, right? It's like, that's just the beginning. So when we went inside, we opened up the Bhagavatam, we took it out. By the time the Bhagavatam's out of the box and in their house, anybody with a little bit of piety doesn't want it to go back in because they would fear the consequences. But then there was a problem because the residents said, we don't have any space. And that's everybody's problem. I don't have any space. So we looked around and we found a shelf in one of their hallway openings. And I looked on the shelf and I said, do you need this? It was an old game, you know, a board game. It looked a little ragged. And no, we don't really need it. We have electronic stuff now. I said, all right. What about this hairbrush? No, I don't need that either. What about these little containers? I don't even know what's in them. We don't know either. We have all kinds of containers inside. Where'd you get that? I don't know. What's it for? I don't know. I just have it. And by the time we got a little momentum, they were in the spirit of it. It's, yeah, let's take everything off the shelf. And then the matron of the house came in and she washed the shelf. It was so symbolic. She washed the shelf to greet the Srimad Bhagavatam. We celebrated that the Bhagavatam had gone in on the shelf. We took a picture. We all stood with it, the whole family. And life is never the same after that happens. Krishna enters the home. Such a practical thing. Prabhupada brought the Bhagavatam with him. Big trunks full of Bhagavatams. Brahmananda told me that he and Garga Muni, when they came to see the treasure trove of Bhagavatams that Prabhupada had there in New York, always wondered where he kept them, but the Scindia Steamship Company allowed Prabhupada some storage space. I wondered, what did he do with all those trunks? Brahmananda told me they were there. And he and Garga Muni went there with Prabhupada. Prabhupada sat and he watched as they tied them with string. There were three volumes, the first canto. Prabhupada had them tie them up so they were little bundles, the precursor to the Saptarishi. And he said Prabhupada was so satisfied to see that. It's like starting from a little room, like any entrepreneur, self-respecting entrepreneur, starts in a little room somewhere, like Hewlett and Packard. They started in some dusty garage. And Steve Wozniak, Steve Jobs, they started Apple in Steve Jobs' father's garage. Just with a big idea, the biggest of ideas they had for technology. Let's take over the world with this new technology that no one even believed in at that time, that it was possible. And they did it. They just kept doing it. Steve Jobs was running barefoot up and down the El Camino Real, showing his computer idea to people, and they said, "Get out of here, kid. Who do you think you are?" And in the same way, the great acharyas seem to start in obscurity, but they know that they have the formula. Bhagavatam is the formula. Srila Prabhupada started in that dusty room with a couple of faithful followers, and they tied up those books and they brought them out into the world. And the revolution began. Srimad Bhagavatam is meant to conquer the world. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin prati shlokam abhadyavatyapi. It's not from this world. It's a very dangerous thing for the material world. Despots beware. They try to burn all the books. But this book, really be careful. So following the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada, who told us in 1973, when he heard we were distributing books, he said, you must also read my books. He said, I have not given these books just for selling. I've given them for you to read, become pure devotees, and go back home, back to Godhead. And when Devahuti asked the question in the third canto of Kapiladev, it seems impossible to get out of the complications of this material world. I actually feel like I am my body, and I've always felt like that, and I can't see any way out. Lord Kapiladev said, you should hear the Bhagavatam for a long time. And that's the only solution, chanting Hare Krishna and hearing Bhagavatam for a long time. And if you're not feeling completely spiritually healthy, chant Hare Krishna and read Bhagavatam for a long time. To make advancement in spiritual life, you have to hear a lot. How much do you have to hear? And when we have that spirit, it overflows and it goes out into the world. And we're meant, actually, to be a missionary movement, to go to every single door and introduce people to the Srimad Bhagavatam. We want this world to be awash in transcendental literature and the holy names from every street corner. That's our mission. And it's good work if you can get it. Because if you can do that, ananyaschintayanta mam yejana pariupasate, tesham nityag yuktanam yogakshema mahamyaham, absorb your mind in that, then Krishna will take care of everything else. You don't have to worry about other things so much. Just worry about how to assimilate Srimad Bhagavatam and how to put it in every single house in the whole world. That ought to just keep you busy for a while. And other things, they'll gradually take care of themselves by Krishna's mercy. So now I'll take a few reflections or questions. Because we have 9 minutes left. Yes. Keep your hand up and Krishna Nam will bring you the mic. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much for that beautiful class and for inspiring us all here. From what we hear and read, it seems like Krishna Prema is a very lofty goal and something that's really rare to attain. But it seems like a very urgent need as well because everybody's looking for real love. So how can we speed up the process of figuring out how to love Krishna and also be agents of love for whoever we come in contact with? Is it a matter of reading a lot?
Yes. It helps. It's a process that unfolds naturally by Krishna's mercy. We have to open ourselves. There are many closures in our lives. For instance, the statement, I already know that. I learned from the great exalted devotee of Prabhupada, Mahatma Prabhu. He said, these words are the way to close yourself from all knowledge. I already know that. And also, we have to be humble and hope for Krishna's mercy. Tate anukampam susumikshamana. In fact, anyone who's just beginning the process and has understood the gravity of the subject matter and the situation that we're here in the material world feels satisfied from the very beginning, even though unable to completely fulfill all the duties or completely taste Krishna prema, because even at the very beginning, Krishna gives assurance from in the heart of the devotee that you're on the right path, the more that we surrender to him. So ultimately the answer is to search your heart and surrender to Krishna. Present yourself before him that I sincerely want to surrender to you. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Masu Jaha, don't worry, I'll take care of you if you do that. Thank you for your question. Also, it helps a very practical way to read Prabhupada's book systematically. It's a hurdle. You look at all the Prabhupada's books and you think, I could never read all those. Or what about the Adi Leela? What about that long purport? Am I actually going to get through it? And so I had that feeling years ago, and then I saw Hanumat Preshak Swami, who was very dedicated to going through Prabhupada's books systematically, said, I'm going to make sure that I'm doing that too. And then I heard somebody say that if you want to take on a huge task, you have to break it into small pieces. So I said, okay, let's do that. So I called my friend Srivas Pandit Prabhu. And I said, Srivas, let's divide the Bhagavatam into little pieces and see what happens. So he started with his calculator, counting all the pages in the Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Upanishad. And then we divided it into time periods and made a little chart. Eventually we called that chart, Be a Sage, page by page. Now we made it into an app. It's for iPhone and also for Android. And you can decide how many pages you're going to read every day, and it'll tell you how long it'll take you to do that. Or you can go the other way and say, I want to finish the whole Bhagavatam in 5 years. You'll be 5 years older anyway in 5 years. But if you read the whole Bhagavatam, you'll definitely be different. And as it turns out, you only have to read 8 pages a day. If you want to be really bold and you want to change your life faster and speed things up, read 41 pages a day. Sanatana Goswami called in sick. And look what happened for him. Any other question? Yes. Hare Krishna.
When somebody gets a taste for Srimad Bhagavatam, the taste of the worldly subject matters appear great to him. So I was just wondering then, is it wrong to give the taste of Srimad Bhagavatam for the kids when they're so young? So then how do they pursue their mundane education as they grow up? In what attitude they can proceed with their education?
Just ask Radhika Raman how that worked out for him. He's a pure devotee. He's also the brightest person I ever met. He's also the best speaker I ever met. He's also an example, a beacon of light for the whole world. He could be a world acharya. And what did he do? He just learned to read on the Bhagavatam. We'll put him up against anybody else. Radhika Raman against anybody you want to bring in the world. Or any of our kids, for that matter, who are studying Srimad Bhagavatam, putting their heart and soul into chanting Hare Krishna and Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll put them up against anybody. They're more successful materially and spiritually. Bhagavatam's solution to all problems. One becomes more expert. Vasudevi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayasya Vairagyam Jnanam Chayata Haituko. You hear Bhagavatam, you get knowledge. You can see the difference between matter and spirit. Who can do that? You also get detachment. Nobody's detached in this world. Everyone's attached, and it ruins everything. But those who hear Bhagavatam are, and they can be more expert than anybody else in any subject matter of the world because of the fortification they get from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is the best investment that anyone can make to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Speaking of which, this is a golden throne that we've especially assembled for Bhadra Purnima. I know you already have a set of Bhagavatams, but I recommend put one in every room of your house if you want to be safe. I did it. Also, give away what you have. Don't store too much. Get Bhagavatams and distribute them, especially on Bhadra Purnima, because whatever you have is going to be taken away anyway. It happened to me at Radhakund. I went there first day of Kartik about 15 years ago. I went in, took my bath. Usually I give a donation at the ashram the last day. I got out of Radhakund, all my clothes were gone, all my stuff was gone. I walked home 3 miles in a gumsha pretending to be a sadhu. I got back to the ashram and I gave my donation the very first day, and the doctrine of preemptive giving came into my mind, and that is give away as quickly as you can before it's taken away. Otherwise you get no credit. So Bhadra Purnima is coming. Invest in Bhagavatam. We're all together. We pool our resources in every which way to expand the Krishna consciousness movement. We could do some major damage. Let's do some major damage. Get more Bhagavatams out. If you know 10 people that don't have Bhagavatams, you know, buy them Bhagavatam, give it to them. It's only $250, Malini? How much? $275. Only. That's how much a salad costs in California. So we should, on these days like Bhadra Purnima, we should all be together. Don't hold back. Put your heart and soul, buy Bhagavatams, give them to, we should do all the time, but especially for these big days. And also form reading groups, start something yourself to finish the Bhagavatam. You should be so clear about reading Bhagavatam every day that someone can wake you up 1 o'clock in the morning and say, when are you going to finish Bhagavatam? And you'll sit up and you'll say, July 5th, 2020, I will complete the 12th canto. And if you have that kind of adherence to the Srimad Bhagavatam, then everything in your life will be clarified. Gaur Premanande Haribo! Nitai Gaura Haribo! 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 Nitai Gaura Haribo! Nitai Gaura Haribo, bo, Haribo, Nitai Gaura Haribo. Vansha Kalpita Vrishya Kripa Sinabe Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Ananta Koti Vaishnavindi Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Bhadra Purnima Ki Jai. Tables right outside on the right hand side. Ki jai. Thank you. Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman, Natari Armarman.